Hello and welcome to the Mystic Cast, where you join Jack Stafford and Deborah Littleboy, members of the Aetherius Society, the cosmic religion for the Aquarian Age, as we break down the barriers between mysticism, UFOs, theosophy, religion, and much more, all of which are really only aspects of the self-same quest for truth. Please note, this is an independent program, not produced or fact-checked by the Aetherius Society. Today, our guest is Jen Weigle. Hello, Jen.
Hi there. Welcome. Thanks for having me. And it's Weigle, by the way.
Weigle. My apologies.
No worries. All good.
So how did you hear about the Aetherius Society?
I was contacted by you all, to be quite honest. So I've been reading up since being contacted, but I have been delving into all things sort of paranormal and woo-woo and different for about 22 years. As a traditional journalist, this just wasn't anything that anybody talked about in my day-to-day life until I left the news business.
Maybe give us a little bit about your backstory for listeners that aren't familiar with you.
Yes, I spent a good 20 years, so I'm old, as a traditional journalist. And I worked in the newsroom, all the basics here in the States, ABC, NBC, CBS. There's a WGN here in the Chicago area where I live, and I worked in radio first and then television and then in print. Some people remember print journalism, where I had a newspaper column. So I was a wellness columnist. It's always been about wellness and trying to tell the stories of what's working instead of what's broken. And then 22 years ago, my father passed away from a brain tumor. He was only 56 years young. And I delved into this world of psychics, mediumship, and so forth because I didn't believe in any of it, to be quite honest. I thought I was going to write a book about how it was all fake. And then 4 books later and 8 audiobooks later, I continue to do interviews with all of these things, bridging, I think, the two worlds. Because as you all know, this is just a human suit that we're wearing in this dimension, in this time. And there's so much more going on than we could ever, ever imagine if we just opened our eyes. And if we don't ask questions, we'd still be sitting on airplanes smoking cigarettes. So with information comes knowledge, and that only happens through asking questions. So I still like to say I'm eternally curious, and I ask a lot of questions.
So what is your goal behind your work?
To get people to open their minds out of their traditional belief systems. I wish that I had grown up with more knowledge of other religions on a global level, because I was raised in a Christian household, a convenient Christian is what I called it, because we weren't, you know, it wasn't regimented. I wasn't Catholic, but it was just sort of believed that everybody believed that Jesus came back from the dead, which now I know is mediumship. Which I find so ironic when I get all of these emails, which I get a lot of emails from very, very evangelical or I call it judgment religion, where they tell me I'm going to a fiery inferno because I'm interviewing people with intuitive abilities. But the whole Bible is talking to the other side and getting downloads. I mean, Moses got the Ten Commandments because it was channeled. You know, this was channeled information, if you believe in those texts, which a lot of people do. So I wish that people would open their minds to other ways of thinking, because just because it's what you know, it doesn't mean it's what everybody knows. And I find it very hard to believe that a child that's born in India that's never heard of a man named Jesus Christ is going to hell because he wasn't baptized in a little building with the oil on his head. And that just doesn't make any human sense, and it doesn't represent any of the readings and texts that I know of what God source to be. So I just wish people would open their minds a little more.
Maybe that's a good source of connection to start the conversation with. Maybe Deborah could tell you a little bit about how we understand the teachings of Jesus, and that he was a master who came from Venus, who incarnated on this earth to... Well, Deborah can explain it much better than I can.
Well, I'm not sure I can, but I'm quite happy to talk about this, because I find this fascinating subject. My backstory is I came from a similar family. background to you with that we were Christians, and I went to a Christian school. It was called the Isleworth Blue School, and it was Church of England. Mm-hmm. But we were christened, and we had to get married in the church that the family got married in, and. But the fact is that I didn't really understand. I didn't. I just went through sort of because my mum and my nan and my aunt, and they all did the same. And I knew it wasn't. I knew some in the very pit of my tummy. I knew that it wasn't right. Mm-hmm. It was that there was something that just didn't just like rubbish. So anyway, fast forward without going through the whole story. Searching for truth, lots and lots of U-turns, and then found the Aetherius Society. But I always, my hero was Jesus. He was my master. Hero, Jesus, loved him, always loved Jesus. And so then I found the society, and the master of the society is Dr. King, because he's the founder of the society. And I was thinking, how can I have two masters? Can't I have two masters? But then I found that Dr. King, because of his mediumship, because he was so highly evolved himself, could actually bring through the Master Jesus. Mm-hmm. And this little book here, which you can't probably see because it's all wrong, but it's called The 12 Blessings. And I've channeled 12 consecutive Sundays. From 1958, July 58 to October 58, the Master Jesus gave us these 12 blessings, which is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. It's a cosmic concept of the Sermon on the Mount. And not only do we have it written, but we actually have his voice, because Dr. King went into positive trance state, and so we can hear the Master Jesus speaking through the voice box of Dr. King, and they're called transmission. And when you listen, when I listened, Jen, to those transmissions, I knew that was the Master Jesus. Nobody could tell me otherwise. I knew that was a Master Jesus. And so in my very slow robot brain that we use here on level one, I thought, if Dr. King was good enough for the Master Jesus, then Dr. King's got to be good enough for Deborah. Mm-hmm. Do you know? And so then that opened, from what you said, that split opened my mind.
Right, right.
And then I was able to take in the other ones. Just what you're saying. Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, because greater gifts than these you will have, greater things than this you will do. I mean, the writings of Jesus were to empower the individual to awaken their healing abilities. It was never about giving all the power to an outside source. And as I've been doing a lot of interviews now, over 20 years worth of interviews, I'm finding that anytime somebody gets too, like, thinking that it's got to come through them, I mean, no offense to anyone who calls himself a master, but I get a little when I hear that, because we are all together, we are all connected, we are all just as valuable, whether you are cleaning the toilets in a building or the CEO. You know, Jesus was a carpenter that went around from stump to stump, and whether he preached to one or a thousand, it didn't matter. It wasn't about ego. The reason that Christianity was even formed is because he was so mad at the ego of the Jewish priests, because they had indoor plumbing. I mean, it was like, you know, this is greatly simplified. But what I'm saying is, he was a Jew in a time where, you know, it always entertains me a little bit when people come at me and attack me when they haven't done their history. And I say, you know that Jesus was Jewish, right? I mean, this is just a fact, a historical fact. And they're like, no, he was Christian. It's like, oh gosh, if you're going to come after someone, do your homework. And so that to me has always been such a big rub, that people worship, again, a prophet that they feel they don't have the power within themselves. And this isn't about wielding power. The whole point of Jesus starting his movement was that he wanted to empower all of us. And that's where I feel that traditional Christianity, Catholicism, whatever, they have this hierarchy of you can't do it unless you go to this building. And you know, back in the day, it was all PR, how they created the Bible, the St. James Bible. They chose all the gospels they wanted to, let's throw Mary over here. Thomas, you're kicked out. You know, let's put only the gospels we want in this giant book that we want. And at the same time, the King James Bible was published. Many people don't know. So was this book on, you know, on basically saying that witchcraft was prevalent. And if you're not in the church, you're going to, you know, burn in hell, because that was a PR campaign too. It was like, don't leave the church or you will go in the wrong way. You know, again, it's a game of telephone. And I say now, look, we've got a device. We're recording on a computer, right? This is going to be documented and people will watch it years later. We have these little phones that are recording devices and they get every word we say if we want to record. Back then, people were chiseling onto templates and it was in different languages. So imagine how things were misconstrued or misunderstood. And yet, because there was no direct evidence of actual, it was all storytelling. It was all storytelling. It was an oral history. And so we have to have a trust and a faith. Like you said, you had this knowing that that was the voice of, you know, what you know to be your master Jesus or whatever your knowing is. And that goes back to what Jesus was saying about trusting within greater gifts that you will have. We have to know what feels right to our frequency, what feels right, and then move forward from there. And that's empowering your tuning fork. So I try to teach to people, my son, I have a 17-year-old son, work on your tuning fork. Get really confident and know thyself. Know what feels good. Know what feels off. Know what feels like it's coming from, you know, like a divine source. Know what's coming from trickster energy. There's so much stuff out there, right? So we have to get our tuning forks really strong. Otherwise, we're just going to follow a path because it's shiny and bright and it sounds good. And that's ego. That's ego. So I've been on this real journey, Deborah, lately about deconstructing what's coming from a good source, right? The high frequency, or what's coming from ego source of trickster, you know, because I really do truly believe one of my mentors and dearest friends, Carolyn Mace, a medical intuitive. She wrote Anatomy of the Spirit, Sacred Contracts, wonderful books. And she channeled, you know, Teresa and all these things. Wonderful, wonderful teacher. And she says, look, you know, God's energy source, energy, real light energy is not sexy. There's nothing sexy about that. It's pure. It's calm. It's grace. It's peace. But it is not woo. And anytime you feel that woo, seductive energy, that's ego. That's not the light. That's the dark. And I've really been using that as my compass. Like, what are you feeling inside? Is it a peaceful, calm light? Or is it, ooh, that's ego versus the light? And so that's been a big aha for me lately.
Yeah, I'm aligned with you. For me, because Dr. King says you must discriminate. I've heard this on so many lectures. You people must discriminate. You know, there are a lot of false teachings out there and you have to discriminate. And what he teaches and what's worked well for me is that if it's for everybody, if your selfless service is for everybody, it's not what race, creed, you know, what fishing shop you go to. No, it's for everybody. If the teaching is for everybody, then that's good. That's from spirit, because we are only one. If it's saying that something's a bit better than the other, like that whole like wonky thing taking sides, then just strap it back. Right. Strap it back, because that is not, that's false. And you can soon get wooed if you want to. And what we were told as well, just because I think this is relevant, it's go back to the Bible. We're told that when Jesus went out into the desert and the devil came to him and it was like trying to give him all take him away.
Yeah.
And he said, stand behind, get behind me, Satan. And what we're told that is actually that our bodies, which are a robot, if you want to, receiver and transmitter sets, we've got two ways of bringing the energy up. The pure way of bringing the energy up, which takes a lot of concentration, and it's not sexy, and it really takes a lot of concentration, is to take it up through Susumna, through the very, very small channel from the root, the bottom of your spine, your tailbone, right the way up and throughout. But it's the back of your, so it's through the middle of your back. Spine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a really hard way. And then you get all of the enlightened moments. You walk on water, you can hear grass grow, you know, as you build the energy and you open up the different psychics. Okay. But you can feel really good if you bring the emotional energy up through the front of your body. So, of course, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to hit the sacral chakra, and most people spew their seed out of there, and we don't, and it doesn't get any further than that. So that sex drive, that whole thing. But if you do manage to bring it up further than that into the heart, it only comes as like an emotionalism, a sickly, oh, I love you, oh, I don't like you very much, that type of thing. And that's because the energy, because everything's energy and vibration, eh?
Right.
Is brought through the easy route, the wide road. Mm-hmm. And what Jesus was teaching us there is, no, I'm not going to bring that energy up through the front. Get behind me, Satan. The only way that energy is going to go is, I'm going to use it, is up through Susumna. Mm-hmm. Bring that Kundalini energy, that serpent power, up the back, through there. Control it through each psychic center until you reach Brahma Chakra. The Bible has the teachings. We just don't understand what...
Right. The translations have just been debacle. And that's such an interesting thing, too, that you say. We had this really interesting experience recently. I do a conference every year. It's called the All Souls Conference. And it's, we had our sixth year this year. And a wonderful group of teachers and writers and intuitives come together. And we always have a variety of different people, right? Because I believe you have to meet people where they are. And not everybody is in the same place. And so not everybody is going to be their favorite, but they're going to find people that where they resonate and that meet them where they are. Well, there was this one teacher that came in, and he was very much, it's my way or no way. And he didn't, you know, and it was interesting. And I thought, as I was watching this happen, and then afterwards, several people gave me feedback that he had mentioned that, you know, they're not ready for my teachings. My way is the way, and they're in the wrong way. And again, anytime somebody says that their way is the only way, I know it's their ego running the show. It is not a healer that is healing and empowering us to heal ourselves. It is someone that's saying, I have to be your filter or it's not going to work. And so again, a wonderful healing opportunity for this practitioner to see that he was judging and not coming from a place of unconditional love at all. It was all conditional. And that's something I've been learning lately. It's that these people were like, well, you can join us if, and I get it. You have a society, you probably have rules. There's some good things for structure and rules and boundaries. But I also really truly believe that forward momentum is important, whether you're running a marathon, which here in the States is 26 miles, or if you're walking 1 mile, walking is still forward movement. And we have to honor that people are going to get there. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with Power Versus Force, the book by David Hawkins. It's a wonderful, I feel, he's a psychiatrist that sort of gave a numerological system to energy and frequency. And so love is at 500. I think shame is at 20, you know, just to give you a gauge, you know, and Christ consciousness is at 800, right? So love and above is where we want to be, 500 and up. And he did this through kinesiology, muscle testing with our human suit, right? And 100% of the testings where they would put, so in containers that nobody could see through, they had, say, like broccoli, you know, healthy, something healthy. And then in the other container, they would have, they had fake sugar, like a false sweetener that's all chemicals. And so they muscle tested everybody holding it to see how they would hold the charge. And when you do a muscle testing, I encourage everyone to Google kinesiology, because it's just fascinating how your body doesn't even see what is in it, but it feels what is in it, right? So when you try to hold, when you know somebody pushes on your arm and you try to resist it, a strong hold means it's like, yes. A weak hold is a no. So 100% of the people that held that fake sugar tried to hold their arm up and couldn't. And they didn't even know what they were holding. 100% of the people that were holding the broccoli, when they were, it was very strong because it was a good frequency for the body, right? And so I tell people this all the time. Our body knows. Our frequency detector can sense. Our antenna knows. And like you say, I'm really going to think about that from the back to the front. It's a wonderful visual to think of it like the tuning fork going both ways, right? Not just one way. A lot of people just teach it's one, you know, probing light that goes up. But I love that idea, Deborah. Thank you for enlightening me again, because as we go through this, if we don't ask questions, we don't learn more information. And that's what it's all about.
It is. And what I find too, Jen, is that I always want to jump ahead. Mm-hmm. So I've got all these dots and I join them up. Mm-hmm. And I think, and if they don't quite fit, well, that's all right. Don't quite fit. Yeah. And then I know that they don't quite fit. It's like I play a game of stupidity with myself, because they're the only dots I've got. So I'm going to make a star out of those dots, whether it's got to be a star or not. Right. But my inner self, my magnet of like my true north, will mm-hmm. bring me other dots that make me reevaluate that, where I've joined those things. Uh-huh. Even though I knew, and I did, you know, because you always know if you're kidding yourself. Unless you're really, really good at kidding yourself, there's something that just, but it's the best you've got. So mm-hmm. you have to, I always think that's the best I've got at the moment, mm-hmm. but something else will come in. And when that comes in, I've got to be brave enough to dismantle everything I've just done and look at it again, right. To make a better picture.
And because you're ready to absorb it. You know, I think that what happens is universe will give us what we're ready for at the time for us to absorb. Mm-hmm. Because I'm gifted with a lot of books, and not all of them can I absorb, right? I will literally go with, and it's like, oh, no, your antenna can't soak that one in right now. Go with this mm-hmm. one. And again, when the student is ready, the teacher will provide. And again, it goes back to meeting people where they are. Now, do I think, and I would love to know what messages you all are getting for right now. I think there is an awakening happening. I get emails every week from just regular people having very irregular experiences. Their antenna is blowing wide open. They're not sure how to work with their operating system. So that's one of the things I do in Zoom, is try to teach people how to work with their toolbox. Let's figure this out. You're getting an upgrade. You know, I liken it to a car analogy. We have a friend who has an older car, has a key still. You know, you use it with the key, and there's no backup cameras. And, you know, it's a very different operating system driving that vehicle. But now we have these cars, they're keyless. You press a button, you got cameras over here, sensors over here. It's like having a spaceship. You're getting these upgrades all the time. But some people are still using cars with keys, and that's okay. But we always have to leave room for evolving into a different way and a new way. So, but I feel that so many people are opening up so quickly that it's actually causing a lot of unrest. It's causing a lot of people are labeling mental illness, but it's not. It's these downloads, I feel, that they just can't compute in a lot of ways. Yeah. What are you all getting and hearing and knowing as far as what's happening right now with our consciousness?
Well, I've sat down to put my notes because I'm getting so excited when I was listening to you. We spoke to a gentleman, you may have heard of him. His name is Daniel Ingram. Uh-huh. And he's working, and I'm going to get this word wrong because I somehow can never say this word, but I'm going to do my best. He's working with the emergent phenomenology research consortium. Let me tell you what that is. It's if put all the W's in front of it, it's the then EPRC.org. Now, I'll tell you what, I'll explain. He was a GP. He worked in the accident and emergency. He's over there in the States with you. But he also had some really like crazy, wacky experiences as a child. Mm-hmm. So, which he couldn't understand and couldn't work out. So he calls himself like that was Daniel One, this small child that couldn't work stuff out. And then mm-hmm. Daniel Two is where he sort of tried to be normal.
Uh-huh.
And then
right.
Daniel Three, like he's gone into like fixing people in, as a healer.
Sure.
And then he's realized that there are a lot of people that are experiencing what you've just said there, that are, that the mainstream medicine can only put pills in them to damp them down. They've right. got no way of integrating these new experiences with the traditional structure.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so this organization, he's getting psychics and people that are mainstream. So they train to be physiotherapists. They train to be orthopedic surgeons. They trained and on. But they've mm-hmm. also had psychic experiences. And so for themselves, they've had to join and bridge that difference, that phenomena. Mm-hmm. And then they've come together in this consortium to actually embrace all illnesses mm-hmm. and bridge that gap between these new psychic phenomena with uh-huh. traditional. And hats off to this man. He yeah. is trying to bring all of this into mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the pharmaceutical companies are still wanting to sell, that they're really interested in making a profit.
Right,
but they're
keeping
also
us sick.
Yeah, in doing mm-hmm. research.
Mm-hmm.
So this
mm-hmm.
is the thing. So he's going in on getting the research done and compiling a portfolio. He's got about, I think he's got 230 practitioners working all over the world to wow. bring the two parts together.
Mm. And wonderful.
So. I don't know. I would recommend that you check that out because
I'm gonna reach out to Daniel today. Yes,
more connections. I mean, it can only just add, and the more Deborah, Jen, Daniel, everybody embrace everybody, the more that we're gonna lift those vibrations up. You don't have to take everything that Deborah says as, and don't take everything I say as true because it's not, but it's true to me at this time I'm speaking to you.
Yes, it is your truth. Absolutely, it is your truth right now that is matching your mm-hmm. frequency, and that truth, as you speak it, and my truth will hit who it's supposed to hit, and then mm-hmm. inspire as it's supposed to inspire. I think back. I love that what you said about Daniel One, Daniel Two, and Daniel Three. I think back to Jen One, you know, a very scared sort of, I didn't know the stomach aches that I was having as a kid were actually empathy. And then I was bringing in everyone's emotions into my second and third chakra because I didn't know I had chakras. I had never heard of this. I just knew I was constantly in pain. And so when my mom brought me to the traditional doctor, the pediatrician, they said I was making it up for attention.
Yeah.
But that was their construct, and that's what they thought. And so I just stopped talking about it. I stopped complaining and went through a lifetime of GI and pain. I called it the knives in my stomach, literal knives, Deborah, is how it felt. And then when I met somebody finally in my late 20s who talked about the chakra system, and I learned that I could shut it down, feeling it like literally closing it like the lid on a jar, just whoop. Ah, the relief. Just that simple exercise. There's a wonderful healer named Pat Longo who she teaches people to activate the healing within them. But when she was in her 40s, her hands turned on. She took an energy healing class. And the next thing you know, she's got hot pokers going. She thought it was menopause. She's like, what the heck? She's in Long Island. And there's something in the water in Long Island because so many people are intuitive in that area. And she helps people with intuitive abilities, psychics, mediums, and healers work with their toolbox. But for her, it hit very late in life. And just watching her story, even she beams out energy and wakes people up. And people who have, I've interviewed her on a stage many times in the Chicago area. She was at our conference. And there are people that email me, Deborah, that they used to have migraines and now they don't. They used to have chronic back pain and now they don't. Just from being in the room while Pat is talking about the healing and blasting it out to those who want to absorb it. You know, again, who's ready? Here we go. And it's like turning on a hose and who's going to soak it up and who's going to go and put on their umbrella and be like, don't get me wet. Everybody's going to face it or not in their way. And I just like to provide the platforms for people to see all these different ways, because I might not, some people might not enjoy Pat's way of doing it. They'd rather talk to Daniel, and that's fine too. As long as they're consciously trying to be at a higher frequency and evolving. But yes, Gen 1, when I think back to Gen 1, and the only person I'd heard of was James Ben Prague, who wrote Talking to Heaven, a book that I read when I was just 28 years old and passed along to friends. And now, compared to, you know, reading about energy codes and emotion codes and, you know, what you're talking about, channeling messages and Venus and all these things. Okay, I am so, and I guess it's Gen 3.0 or 4.0, I don't know, but I'm open to all of it. Because if you're not, you're stuck in that construct, right? You're in the car with a key and you can't figure out. So my son drove the car that has a key and he tried to plug in his phone to an operating system, right? So he's in 3.0 and he's trying to work a car that's in 1.0 and they're not compatible. So he came in and I said, huh, you're going to have to turn on the AM radio. Have fun with that. There's commercials. There are these things called commercial. And it's just a different operating system. But thankfully, he was able to make it work and made it run. But it's just a different way of being. And I encourage everybody who's watching this to upgrade your operating system. Open your mind to a newer, broader perspective of being. And that is how we will all finally get to that place where we're not all popping a pill, because that's the only way we know how to function, because the pharmaceutical company makes us afraid if we don't. That is just another PR campaign that needs to go. And it's unfortunate, very unfortunate.
It's but something we have to go through, because of course, we're all one, and we have actually created the environment that allowed that to happen.
Right.
And of course, how many people have said the only thing to allow evil to prosper is for good people to do nothing? That's, you know, and that's just so true. But what I'd like to share with you just briefly here is that late in life, I was 47, I had a change of career. I went from working in the travel industry, I then became a prison officer. And I went into the prison environment, and the energies there are really quite dark.
And the
prison that I went to was for people that had done very serious crime. Mm-hmm. Nobody was going to get out within 6 years. I mean, that was a minimum stay. So they were there for the long term, some for like life on life, but long term, very deep energies. I went in wide open, like just wide open, not even really, you know, went into show the way. I'm going to be like a model, not a model as in a catwalk, but a model of how to.
Right. People, a beacon of light.
I went in to do that. Now, I went in as fit as a flea, really, as a 47-year-old, very fit with an ego, but very, very fit. 7 months later, I couldn't walk. Mm. I had to have both hips replaced. Osteoarthritis. I sucked in all that energy and it seized up my hips.
Wow.
Me telling you what the surgeon said is that I don't know how in 7 months you've gone from running 5K every morning to you can't walk.
Yes.
And I didn't know at that stage either, but with hindsight, I do know, because I used to play this game. I used to see energy, somebody about to have a punch up. See, right. I could feel that that darkness, if I walk towards it and turned on as if I was a Hoover, a vacuum cleaner, and suck it up, then it would dispel and the people that were, it would all sort of wander off and there wouldn't be a fight. So I could take it in through my nose, send it down through my body, out through my feet to the Mother Earth, and I'd send it for her to recycle it. So she would then recycle it, send it back as lovely rain. That was my visualization. Sure. I never clean the engine. So everything I was bringing through and down and out, you know, you have to clean yourself up.
Well, it's like you have to take the car for an oil change. You have to flush.
Exactly. And I didn't. And seven months later, that was the result. So what I'm saying to our listeners now is that it's really important that you have a system in place that you go out in the clutter of the world, but you will pick up the higher your vibrations, there will be lower vibrations coming to add some of it. Right. And you have to be able to have a routine to get rid of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a wonderful example, because I tell people all the time, it's coming through you, not from you, right? A lot of people are like, oh, I'm really powerful. It's like, no, you're a hose. You're a pipe. It's, you know, but you have to clean your pipes, just like you say. Mm. So it's like, I've got a water pitcher and it's filtering the water. You get it from the thing. But sometimes you have to replace that filter. You have to wash the pitcher. You have to do all those things. And so now what is your practice, Deborah, for cleaning the pipes?
Well, as I say, I've adopted what Dr. King has told us to do. Basically, breathing exercises. He put together six simple breathing exercises for the Western mind. So he was a master of yoga, so he could look in and see what our auric fields were like. So six breathing exercises, which take me 15 minutes. I then do 20 minutes. I didn't start with this. I started with 5 minutes of first breathing and then you build up. So so it's 15 minutes of breathing. And then I go on to sacred mantra. So again, that's a vibration to make my vibrational field.
Yep.
And then I pray and I send out healing through my heart, open my heart and send it out through the chakras in the palms of my hands. Best way to pray. Not like that, because you're joining the circuit. You've got to let that energy out. Mm-hmm. So focus where you want the energy to go. See it as white light through your head, out your heart, out your palms, or way it goes out to the like a laser to wherever you're sending it.
Love it.
And that clears me.
That's good.
Yeah, as I say, I've had three hip replacements now, so I'm never, and I'm 60, nearly 65. So I'm never going to get back to being that fit thing. But actually, I'm in a lot better place now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it's so interesting. I love that story because I had a very similar experience when I was working in radio, right? In media, very dark energy, a lot of ego, a lot of backstabbing. I mean, not like murderous, like you're talking about, but boy, was that energy. Every day I could feel it. And again, back to the stomach, even though I have the tools now not to absorb all those knives in my stomach, still a few energetic ones hit me in the back and I would feel it. You want to talk about backstabbing, a lot of fear. There was so much fear in this place. And what I was doing, like you say, I pictured sending light into every room before I went there. I pictured, you know, walking in with like a tray of candles and just leaving one on this. That was my visual. I'm just going to leave a candle here and leave a candle here because I thought, well, I can help even one little morsel of light at a time. I'm going to help where I can, because that's, you know, in the whole, what would Jesus do? That's what he would do. He would go and he would try to raise the frequency wherever he went and speak his truth and his gospels wherever he went. So I wasn't going to not do that in a media job. Mm. I was going to do that. And it almost killed me. I was then the pandemic hit and I wasn't going in there anymore, but I was still feeling it. I was in bed, just almost like what do they call it? Like chronic fatigue. It was just, it just hit me. And it took a lot of flushing, a lot of energy work with people that I trust. Oh, now as I'm talking about it, look, the sun has just come through like.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that immediately. Yeah.
Like, oh, it's coming through pretty bright. But yes, it was a total transformation for me to realize that there's only so much that I can do. And so I say that to anybody who's feeling like sick and tired. Look at your environment, just like you at the prison, me in the radio job. Look at your environment. Look at your coworkers. Look at your spouse. Look at the people you keep company with. You know, that old adage, you are the five people you spend the most time with. And that energy bleeds into your life. So anybody who complains about their life being exhausting, I have one friend who complains and complains. Well, she's in a horrible marriage, but she won't change it. So to me, I'm like, talk to the hand. Oh, it's funny you say that about the hands. Talk to the hand, because if you're not going to change your circumstances, then you're not going to change your pains, your aches and pains. And so we really have to do, like you said, the evil is when you do nothing, right? You see something and do nothing. We have to do something. We are in these human suits. So it's our job to connect, to help. And at the end of the day, you know, there's all this strife and all these awful pain in the Middle East. You know, I went to this conference called Images and Voices of Hope. And I was asked to speak when I was a news anchor. And there was other news people from all over the world meeting in this one place, the Brahma Kumaris in upstate New York, a very beautiful facility. And this woman was an anchor woman from Israel. And we got to talking. And now imagine, this is 20 years ago. And she was talking about how every week there was a story of parents, grieving parents who had lost children in the conflict, grieving Palestinian parents and grieving Israeli parents would meet in the Gaza Strip and hug and cry as grieving parents, not of any religious faith, not of any background, not of any area where they lived. It was just grieving parents holding each other through their tears. And this news anchor talked about that story and how impactful it was. And then her boss said, we don't want to tell that story anymore. We don't want to promote harmony. We are promoting the conflicts because we will win that way. We cannot win through harmony. We cannot win through peace. And that's, again, that ego promoting the fighting. I'm wrong, you're right. I'm right, you're wrong, right? It's just unfortunate. And that was 20 years ago, Deborah, and here we are still, right? Still.
But we are actually further along because we've got this. I couldn't have spoken to you 20 years ago. I wouldn't have had that chance to connect with this technology. I mean, I'm still using a key car, if you want. But Jack, who was a wizard on IT, has actually made a vehicle for me where we can connect. And I do believe that the women of this, the women connection, the women that understand it's about community, it's about collaboration, and that is where the power is. I'm saying women, but what I mean is the feminine. So men have feminine as well, but it's the feminine energy, the powerful feminine energy, which will bring peace.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it. To the root of me, I believe it. But we have to be brave. We have to share these stories. We have to bring it up. We have to connect with people that we know. We have to share that. And even if we don't fully understand, so we're not at the right, if you like, at the same joining point, we have to understand that we're actually all part of the same big thing.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Right. It is. Yeah. It's okay. I love, I'm sure you've heard of Dr. Mary Neal. She's all over she wrote the book To Heaven and Back and the 7 Things I Learned in Heaven. She's an orthopedic surgeon who was in a kayaking accident. She was in the Netflix series Surviving Death. She's in the current movie now called After Death that's out in theaters as we speak in this moment in November of 2023. But she was without oxygen for 30 minutes. So she's a living miracle because she knows even as a medical doctor that she shouldn't be alive. She shouldn't be functioning in the human suit anymore, but she is. And when she was in the light with Jesus, you know, and Jesus was saying, look, we're all in this as a tapestry. We are all threads. And so from down here, it feels like you're being stepped on, or, oh, this is so personal, or ouch. But the reality is, from up there, right, from the looking down, it's this beautiful tapestry, like an oriental rug. There's dark and light, and it's all this pattern that's making this fabulous tapestry. But we are threaded together, whether we like it or not. And those threads make us stronger. And so remembering that, especially when the pandemic hit and I created this thing called the Spiritual Social Club, so that because I couldn't do live events, I was doing monthly live events and I couldn't do them anymore. So we started doing virtual events. And that has thus created this incredible Zoom community that is now global. And even though I can be live in events again, I want to keep doing these global Zooms with the Spiritual Social Club, because I can connect to Indonesia. I can connect to all these places in Canada and the UK and Ireland and Scotland. It's just been fantastic. So that's how this, even being isolated, has helped us connect even more on a global level. And it sounds like, Jack, your technical expertise has helped Deborah connect even more because of, as we talk about operating systems, he's an IT person that can help us figure all these things out. So we can be talking while you're in wherever you are, and I'm here in the Chicago area. So it's just great in a lot of ways. It's really wonderful. So
yeah, we've all grown through this crisis. Deborah's very humble. She's always says that I enable her, but she's, you know, we're a great team.
That's good. That's fantastic. And more people need, again, that hoarder mentality, right? Of not enoughs. That's just fear. You know, when people, it's so interesting when they hoard their contacts, right? Like, oh, like, I don't want to share that. Da, da, da. What good is that? Think of that energy of grasping. You're like this. Well, what can land when you're grasping? Nothing. So you have to open. I say open, allow, receive. Open, allow, receive. We are all connected. Open, allow, receive. Now, you can go like this if you're connecting to something else, and that's good. It's tethering it together. It's great. But that's a connection, right? Not a grasping isolation. So many of us are grasping, isolating. No, I'm right. You know, and that energy is just not going to get us evolving anywhere quickly at all. It's just every day we have to learning.
That's really the energy Deborah brought to this, is that I was more like the more masculine, let's strive forward and preach to the world. And Deborah's saying we must bring everyone together, and that feminine harmony and that really has helped us grow as a podcast.
And it's both and what a great thing it is to have both of it. You know, I say to people all the time, I will do so many things, I can put on a lot of hats, but I can't do your taxes. I'm very clear about that. I'm not great with math. I don't like it. It's not my thing. So find somebody who's great at it, because there's somebody out there that loves it. We have to do what we love and what gets us excited. And there are plenty of people who are super excited with doing taxes. I'm just not one of them.
No, but you're doing great work in the world, and people... You're helping so many people and bringing people into this world. So how can people learn more about you, follow you, join these Zoom meetings?
Oh, yeah. My website is just Jen Weigel, JenWeigel.com. And there's a tab there. I have a podcast that's free. I believe in a lot of free resources. So finding me on YouTube or Instagram or the podcast, all wonderful. And then the Zooms we do, they're priced so affordably. I also get a little when people price themselves out of regular people being able to connect. You know, when they get this price tag of $1,000 for an hour, you're like, what? And gosh, great. Good for them. They can do that. But I do feel like, again, what would Jesus do? He wouldn't charge $1,000 an hour. He would probably say, I'll be there to help. But everybody's got to make a living too. I'm not saying that a doctor shouldn't charge for their time, or a mechanic, or an accountant. You have to charge for your time. So yeah, we have these Zooms where every single person gets time with the expert or the intuitive or the medium or the psychic or the teacher. And so it's very interactive. So I love
to be podcast. It's a wonderful idea.
Yeah,
and what's your podcast called?
The Jen Weigel Show. Just simple enough.
All right. Wonderful. Well, I think that's a great note to end on. If people want to learn more about the Aetherius Society, they can go to aetherius.org.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jen. Thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.